What could be more attractive than solving our energy problems with help from something as simple as the wind? But as you're hearing on World Report this morning, all is not okay with Ontario's wind turbines. CBC News has obtained a trove of Ministry of the Environment documents, which lay bare major problems and warnings about noise pollution coming from the province's approximately 900 wind turbines. The CBC's Dave Seglins joins us in studio with more on the story. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, take us back to the beginning. Where did these documents come from?
Well, they came to us from a woman by the name of Barb Ashby. Now, she used to live surrounded by some of the 133 wind turbines that are in the facility up near Shelburne. She's actually since moved closer to Mono Mills, which is closer to Orangeville. But since the beginning of wind power in Ontario, I think most listeners will recall, we've heard from the provincial government. They've given us assurances that wind power is clean, it's safe, that they've looked around the world, and they've set standards to keep it safe here in Ontario. But at the same time, we've also had people who, you know, live right next to these wind farms who have been complaining of these mysterious health effects, everything from a ringing in the ear, tinnitus, to vertigo, to anxiety, stress, sleeplessness. Well, people like Barb and her husband have both suffered all types of problems while they lived in their house.
Ringing in the ears, headaches, nausea, dizziness. It was affecting our animals. We'd go nights in a row with no sleep. And it was a combination of the loud noise, the decibel audible noise, and also this vibration that was in the house that would go up and it would go down.
So eventually Barb filed a number of Freedom of Information requests with the Ministry of the Environment, and she received a large number of documents relating to her case.
What did the documents reveal?
Well, as you read through them, in this chronology of about a year and a half, they paint a picture of how ministry officials responded to her situation. So back in early 2009, Ashby moved into the house. She's complaining repeatedly, both to the power company and to the ministry. And these emails and initial reports from the MOE, it's actually their frontline field officers out of the Guelph office. They show that, first of all, they didn't actually process her complaints for some time. And then they only started to take the complaint seriously once the power company itself actually started to hire consultants. And their tests came back and they gave reports showing that actually these noise levels around her home from the turbines were way too high, higher than the allowable limits. Mm. And so the problem was found by the power company, not the ministry.
Okay, so then what did the ministry do?
Well, it's fascinating to read through these documents because you see how the field officers at the Guelph District Office start to come to grips with this problem. They began testing. They began consulting specialists. In a series of documents and memos, this really lays bare some startling conclusions about wind power. This is as Ontario is going into this big expansion mode. First, field officers concluded that the computer models Ontario has used to determine what's a safe setback distance, mm-hmm. you know, for the wind turbine away from a house, those computer models are flawed. Number one. Secondly, these officers and their managers, according to these documents, came to see and they actually began warning the managers and supervisors in Toronto that the ministry has no methodology and no idea how to measure noise pollution in a complex environment. It's one thing to stand in front of one wind turbine, but they have no method to be recording and measuring limits in the middle of a wind farm where you're surrounded by more than one or two turbines. So that means they can't actually enforce noise limits. Number three, the ministry staffers began actually calling for stricter noise limits. The MOE usually has a strict limit for industry that operates in rural areas because the background sound is much quieter, right? Mm. Well, the MOE officer is saying, look, this should be applied to wind turbines, something the province has not yet done. Here's Barb Ashby again.
The field officers can't measure the noise. They hear the vibration in our house. They know the sound levels are driving people from their homes. It's all in there. And it's gone to Toronto, it's gone to authorities down there, and it's just been shut down, shelved, put it away. We don't want to talk about it. Whenever I see McGuinty on his election campaign ads, and we had 10 turbines, now we have 900, it makes me sick.
Now, Dave, you said that Barb Ashby and her husband are no longer in their house. What happened?
Well, the power company that started up the Shelburne Area Wind Project, it's, of course, one of the first, one of the largest in Ontario, they bought them out. And the couple has signed a confidentiality agreement. They say Ironically, you know, it was the company that really took them seriously at first. But Ashby and her husband say this is too important an issue to keep quiet about. And they say that given their health consequences that they suffered and what they've learned and what they call the government's bungling of their complaints and what these documents show about the gaps in the ministry's command of noise pollution, they wanted to go public. And I mean, they're well aware that we're in the middle of an election campaign. And frankly, I think they want a proper and full debate about how Ontario is, you know, expanding quickly with wind power.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone else looked at these documents?
Yes, indeed. We put them in front of Ramani Ramakrishnan. Now, he's a Ryerson prof. He works in the Department of Architectural Science. He's also an acoustic specialist who's done work for NASA. He's also done work for the Ministry of the Environment. He's actually advised them on this very subject. He's written reports for them. He's actually taught seminars to the very officers, you know, the MOE officers in the Guelph office about these problems of monitoring noise pollution from wind turbines. And he agrees there is no clear method to measure noise levels. We could develop one, but it's going to be expensive and time-consuming. He says what we really need is more science. And furthermore, he has been telling the ministry for some time that there should be stricter noise limits in rural areas, but the government hasn't followed that advice yet. And according to Ramakrishnan, this could be because it would mean the wind turbine companies actually have to scale back their operations across Canada if the decibel levels were lowered for each wind turbine.
So let's say I evaluated it and I'd say it's 40 dBA, which is at the borderline of the ministry's acceptable level. Then if I put 5 dB penalty, that means either I reduce the number of wind turbines in the wind farm development, or I have to do a lot of noise control to the wind turbines.
So basically that would mean Ontario would have to dramatically scale back wind farms and place them farther away from people's homes.
Mm, all right. So what does the government have to say about all of this?
Well, it's interesting. There was a really significant ruling this summer from the Environmental Review Tribunal. That's the regulator that approves wind farm projects. It acknowledged that there is no doubt wind turbines can pose a risk to human health. But the problem that they say and clearly identify that there's very little science that could tell us what kind of controls are needed on noise, what are the necessary setback distances to protect people. So they say that in their ruling. We've asked the Minister of the Environment, John Wilkinson, for an interview. So far, he's been unavailable. We are hoping to speak to him today, possibly Dalton McGuinty today as well.
All right, Dave, thank you very much for this.
You're welcome.
CBC reporter Dave Saglins.